to abide. The word as used here is the same word that we use for abode, to live together, dwelling. You never really know someone until you live with them, do you? You may think you do, but until you see someone day in and day out, you don't really know them. Living together. This verse also, I take to mean not necessarily physically living together, but living in this world together. And living in this world together isn't something that we as humans have really learned to do well, have we? I could stand here for the next 15 minutes, and instead of talk about this passage, I could just list things that people in this world don't get along about. I could just list things, major things, and maybe I could get most of them in 15 minutes. But if I added the minor ones, we would be here for days. Think for just a moment. What in just the last day have you found yourself disagreeing with someone else about? How did you deal with those disagreements? Yesterday, we spent a couple of hours at the baseball field, as we do most every Saturday. And to be honest, there were many things there that people didn't agree about. During those games, there were people who were not living well together. As we were leaving the ball field, Roy looked over and saw the next team warming up, and he said, "Look, there's that little girl that plays on that team that is so good." And I caught myself saying, "Yeah, but she's on that team that was so mean to us." You would hope that when a children's baseball game is over and done, everyone would be able to be friendly with one another. But increasingly in our world, when people disagree, it becomes a real divide, doesn't it? It's too difficult to bridge and remain friendly. Just watch Facebook for a few days. When people disagree on an issue, it's just real easy. All you have to do is hit unfriend. Unfriend. And boom, there's no more disagreeing and no more friendship. If you don't like the way another person thinks, you're gone, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore. There are many people who read this scripture and think that that's what Jesus is saying to us. Do what I say, and we can be friends. Don't do as I say, and curtains. The branch is lopped off and withers and dies. God hits unfriend. I don't read this passage that way. I read this passage to say, abide in me as I abide in you. It's important in this passage to look at just exactly how does Christ abide, live, dwell with me. The first thing that I would say is that Christ abides with me unconditionally. No questions asked. No expecting me to be in perfect condition. You know the signs that say, house for sale as is? That's the way Jesus sees us. I will dwell in you as is. All you have to do is ask. When I said, Jesus, I'm ready for you to abide in me, that is that. Jesus is with me for the rest of time. Not that I deserve that, but that's the way it goes because he promised us that he would abide in us eternally. And that's the second way that Jesus abides with us. There's really nothing that can make God unabide, if that was even a word. I can complain, I can talk bad about politics, I can even download crazy things on Facebook, and God's not going to hit the unfriend button. There are parts of this passage that sound like, if you're not doing it right, you're lopped off. If you're not bringing in people and you're not winning souls, you're not bearing fruit, then you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. And that's not what this is saying. This is saying that God takes care of the vine and makes sure that life is flowing through the vine all of the time. God abides with us always. We are always connected to the vine. That nourishment, that strength, that acceptance is always flowing and available. And part of God abiding in us means that we're comforted. We're connected to the vine, and the vine brings us what we need and when we need it. Comfort during the times we're struggling. Peace when it seems like our world is at war. Strength when we can't seem to take another step. In my home in Oklahoma, I had a big grapevine that ran across my back fence. Some years I would have the most beautiful vines. They would be leafed out and just gorgeous, and I would get so excited thinking, this is going to be a good year. I'm going to be able to make a lot of grape jelly. This is going to be good. And I would watch and I would watch, and the grapes wouldn't come. I knew the vine was alive, but there was no evidence of fruit. Something wasn't right that year. Either it was too dry or too wet or too hot, or the birds got to the grapes before I did. Just like that, we have times in our lives when we don't appear to be as fruit-bearing as we should. But that doesn't mean we're going to be lopped off and thrown into the fire. It means we're connected to the vine. We abide with the vine, and there is hope in that connection. We will be fruitful again. We just need to trust that the vine is still flowing with what we need. And sometimes we need to focus on that and then allow the nourishment in that vine to strengthen us and help us grow. In all the ways that we see Christ alive and well in us, we must recognize that the disciples at this time, they were fixing to be without Jesus physically. And that was going to be different for them. It would be hard for the disciples to remember exactly what it's like to walk and talk with Jesus. It would be tempting for them to hide and even run away from all that they had heard and all that they had learned from their time with Jesus. Jesus was reminding them to stay the course. Abide in me. You have everything you need. Allow God to continue to work through you. Even when I'm not visible to you. to remember that it's not what we do that saves us in this life. It's what we allow God to do through us that matters. When we do our own thing, not paying attention to what God intends for us, when we think we know what's best for us, that's when the fruit can wither. We need to allow God to work through us. In us. I think there's also a lesson for our church, for the church, in this message today. I think sometimes the church gets so caught up in fruit that we forget about the vine. We say, look at what we're doing for this community. We're working at soup kitchens and we're collecting money for this group and we're doing this and we're doing that. Look at us. We are great. Come be a part of us. And before we know it, we're not producing fruit because it's about the vine. The vine is right there, always with us, and we need to allow it to feed us. If we as a church don't allow Christ to abide with us on this journey, we have little chance of remaining the church of God. If we don't take the time to grow as individuals with Christ, if we don't allow ourselves to stop and listen and know what God wants for us, then we don't produce the fruit the way God intended. I've thought a lot this week about the ministries of this church. How much time do we spend in prayer for one another? How much time is spent in prayer for the ministries of this church? How do you each prepare yourselves for worship? How much time do you spend in personal relationship with God? Are all the activities we do as a congregation helping this church really bear fruit on the vine? Are there things that we do because we feel God leading us? Or are we doing them because they make us look good? I'm very proud of what this community does, for what this body of Christ does in this community. I would never want us to lop off branches just because, and I'm not suggesting that there's anything we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. But I am, however, suggesting that we might need to be spending a little more time as individuals and as groups growing our own personal relationship with the vine in addition to going out into the world. Perhaps we, as this amazing cluster of grapes, need to remember and recognize and praise and celebrate the vine and the vine grower. We need to recognize that we're one cluster of grapes among many clusters. God abides with us, loves us all, uses us all. David Hammarskjold, and I'm not sure I said that right, was the well-respected Secretary General of the United Nations until his death in 1961. He was a strong man of faith, And after his death, his private journal was published under the title Markings. 2 months before his death, he included a prayerful petition that says a lot about abiding with God. Give us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, a heart of faith that we may live thee. I want to read that again. Give us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, a heart of faith that we may live thee. Abiding in God has to do with seeing and hearing and serving God with deeds of love for others. And that is how we live with God. And that is how God lives with us. There's a funny saying that kind of says it all. Lots of people are singing, standing on the promises, when they're really just sitting on the premises. It's a good statement, isn't it? Lots of people are singing, standing on the promises, when they're really sitting on the premises. Because God abides with us and lives with us and strengthens us and comforts us all through an amazing love that we cannot even begin to comprehend. But because of that, we know God, and because of that, we are known by God. And because of that, we can live in this world sharing God's love, living well with others as Christ lives with us. Amen.